the last two verses. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Here we have the word walk, and here we have see then, which is a non-programmatical way to say therefore. See then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly is with complete awareness, something we are incapable of without the Spirit. We do not perceive spiritual truths without the Spirit of God. That's spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The natural man cannot know them. That's what Paul says in another place. So we are to walk as if we had eyes around all of the back of our heads, spiritually speaking, with complete awareness. We walk blindly in darkness before Christ. Now we are to walk as children of light, awake and alert and aware and alive and vigilant. We are to walk circumspectly. Now that applies to our own thoughts, deeds, and priorities, our own decisions. We are to be circumspect, which is the opposite of impulsive, which is the opposite of allowing our sinful nature to come forth and raise its ugly head again. So we are to walk circumspectly, and that looks like what Paul says here. Not as fools, I know I was a fool before Christ, but as wise, redeeming the time. Before Christ, I was a fool. I believed foolish things, I felt foolish things, and I did foolish things. And foolish is a very polite way of saying it. Now, because of the Spirit of God within me, I have the wisdom of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. If you think about that, when I think about that, my mind can't contain it. I have the mind of Christ. We're told that in Philippians. Christ, the way Christ thinks, has been imbued to us as believers. Well, it doesn't mean we have the IQ of Christ. That's, I don't even know if that's a concept. But it means that how he thinks, we are now capable of thinking. Well, how did he think? Being God, he allowed himself to be servant of all. Being all-powerful, he surrendered to death, even the death of the cross. Being Almighty God, he took the place of the lowliest household servants and washed, incredibly, the disciples' feet. The very same disciples who argued amongst themselves who would be the greatest, who had no clue. When though he again and again said, I am going up to Jerusalem, I'll die, and I'm going to rise again on the third day. It took them all by surprise. And who abandoned him the minute things got tough? He washed their feet, knowing those are the very things they would do, and those are the very kinds of people they were. Now, of course, once they saw the resurrected Christ, and he breathed into them the Spirit of God, they became transformed. They were completely different. But before that, this deity in human skin, this God the Son, took on the lowly, humble place of a servant to save us. So that's what being wise and redeeming the time means. We are to walk in the Spirit and thus rescue or buy back the time that we have in this world that would otherwise be lost forever in futile darkness and shamefulness. What does that look like? Well, I have 40 years of a life to look back on prior to being a Christian. And if I were to wallow in that life, right, and focus on the things I could have but did not do, or should have and did not do, I could be incapacitated. But then we read verses like, God will restore the years that the locusts ate. I love that verse. That spoke to my heart, spoke to my memory. Those things that are impossible for me to do anything about, God promises to restore the years that the locusts ate. I look at that as redeeming the time. And I can participate in that by the grace of God, by the miracle of God in my life. I can look upon the opportunities that He gives me day by day, moment by moment, to exercise my faith and do His will. I'm redeeming the time. I'm buying back the time. And had I not come to faith in Christ, my life in this world would have been a slow, steady march into hell, hardening my heart as I practice sin more and more. But with Christ and with the Spirit and walking in the light as He is in the light, my life on this earth is just the vapor, a shadow of the life that I am guaranteed in heaven and on the new earth. So that is a way to think of redeeming the time. Why should we do all this? And I'll end with this thought. Well, not really end, but I'll almost end. Because in contrast to our new life in Christ and His soon return to establish His kingdom, these days are evil. They're not as evil as they could be, yet. They will get worse and worse. But that's why we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. And they ain't going to get better. But they're not the end of things either. That's not the end of the story. The end of the story was in when Christ returns. And we return with Him to rule and reign in righteousness. So those are the two walks that we've seen in this passage. So what have we learned? Well, we've learned that this continuation, the second half of Ephesians, provides us with reason after reason. Logical, rational, irrefutable, succinct reasons to walk worthy of the calling with which we were called. Paul outlines them with the therefores and the see-thens and the whys and the becauses. We have reason after reason, line upon line, precept upon precept. We don't have to take this based on our own thinking, our own rationalization. Paul gives it through the Spirit of God to us. We've learned that in contrast to our past walking in fellowship with darkness, we are now in fellowship with one another and with Christ, and we are to walk in that light, in the light of Christ, in the light of His love for us, and in the light of our love for one another. We've learned that this means that we are not even to speak of those shameful, venial things that some of us may be guilty of in our past, those evil deeds of darkness, but rather we are to expose and refute them, to confront that darkness so that the light of truth shines forth in the world through us. That's an amazing thought. We are God's flashlights, in a sense. No, that was lame. But we are to shine His light into the world. And finally, we've learned that all of this is in the light of Christ, not our own meager, match incandescence. No, we are to walk in His light, in the light of Christ, the one who delivered us from our own darkness into His marvelous light. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and praise You for Your word. We thank You that You have given us the opportunity to come apart for this time and to focus on those things above. We thank You that You have so lovingly preserved these passages for us. And we pray, Father, that through the power of Your Spirit, that the truths that we have explored just briefly this evening would sink deep down into our hearts and change us day by day into the image of Your Son. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. For our